This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great nation that is right now polarized with some great debates and some really, really stupid debates. Which are which? Well, we'll get to a bunch of them with some of the sharpest minds around. Rich Lowry, who's the editor of National Review, editor-in-chief, is going to be joining us. They have a lead editorial today about the idiotic debate over hydroxychloroquine. Who is responsible for this idiocy? Everybody is the answer. We will get to that. We will also get to the great debate between two great public servants, and I think they're both doing a terrific job, but they just disagree. And I have in mind here Steven Mnuchin, the Secretary of the Treasury, and Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. They are debating whether or not we are going to best start up the economy simply by removing some of the restrictions. Jerome Powell suggests that we're going to need a lot more federal aid, a lot more spending of federal money. It's actually borrowing of money on behalf of the federal government. We will get to that debate. We'll also talk to Dan Crenshaw, congressman from Texas, about why it is that liberals and conservatives, Republicans and Democrats, see everything regarding this pandemic so profoundly differently. Ben Sasse, senator from Nebraska, I have watched his commencement speech at Fremont High School. I thought it was funny and very entertaining. But it has produced outrage in a member of the local school board in Senator Sasse's hometown. He is running for re-election. Member of the school board has demanded that he apologize for a graduation speech that was despicable. We will cover that and also cover all of the attacks on Alex Berenson. Alex Berenson, the former New York Times reporter, who wrote an epically important book about marijuana called Tell Our Children, about the dangers of marijuana. Well, now he's being attacked by the left because he's questioning some of the orthodoxy about coronavirus. We'll be speaking to Alex as well coming right up on the Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. First off, there is this debate going on about the best way to restart the economy. I mean, now that it appears that there is some kind of handle on the coronavirus in most places, Russia, not so much. Russia is now a disaster. The Putin regime is continually lying about the number of deaths. But in terms of the number of cases, diagnosed cases, Russia is now second to the United States. So unbelievable. And Brazil, it's not going so well. However, there's footage of people coming back to the cafes in Milan, which was the very center of the disastrous pandemic in Italy. There is talk of France and Germany working together now to lead Europe out of lockdown. Things are opening up, schools, factories, maybe even tourism comes back. So if that's happening with Europe, and it seems to be happening in virtually every American state, if you look like at a map of states where they are easing restrictions, it's everywhere, except for Washington, D.C. That's the only state where they have done nothing to, or the only state or only jurisdiction where they seem to have done nothing to relieve restrictions. Okay, so with all of that going on, what about restarting the economy? The Wall Street Journal covers the Senate testimony yesterday by Steven Mnuchin and Jerome Powell. And they point out that Secretary Mnuchin, Secretary of the Treasury, appearing alongside the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, at an online congressional hearing, reflected the Trump administration's belief that the biggest danger to the nation's economy is waiting too long to restart activity after 2 months in which millions of people have sheltered at home to slow the spread of infection. Mnuchin told the Senate Banking Committee, there is the risk of permanent damage to our economy and to our country if we keep commercial activity closed down for too long. I think that most people listening to me right now would agree with that. There is a big risk, but there's also a risk with opening up too quickly and too abruptly. At least that appears to be one of the lessons that's coming to the U.S. from elsewhere. Meanwhile, there are people like Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia, and particularly Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, who got a tremendous pushback for opening up at all. And yet Florida and Georgia have continued to make real progress in flattening the curve and in getting their societies back to normal. So that should be a lesson. Jerome Powell, meanwhile, challenged the premise, and I think Jerome Powell is right on this. He challenged the premise that there is a trade-off between economic growth and protecting the public's health. In other words, that you can ease up on protecting the public's health in order to get economic growth. What he said, fear of coronavirus infection is the economy's biggest hurdle, he said. And the recovery will be held back until people believe it is safe to resume commercial activities involving person-to-person contact. Quote, the number one thing, of course, is people believing that it's safe to go back to work so they can go out, Powell said in his testimony. That's what it will take for people to regain confidence. For the third time in a week, Mr. Powell suggested additional spending by Washington could be needed to prevent long-term damage from high unemployment and waves of bankruptcies. The scope and speed of the downturn are without modern precedent and are significantly worse than any recession since World War II, the Fed chief said. Well, that is true. Mnuchin's response and the Trump administration's response is sensible, which is that, okay, let's see. We are just beginning to see the extent to which people will come back to restaurants, that they will come back to movie theaters. There's a new survey that shows 70% of Americans who are asked, who say they like movies, prefer to watch new movies at home. So that's tough news for theater owners. But we will see. I think it's entirely possible when theaters are allowed to open up again that people will have so much pent-up demand, so much pent-up desire to go out to the theaters, that there may be a robust return. But whether it comes to going back to restaurants or going back to the gym or going back to religious services, I do think that it's not simply going to happen automatically and all at once, because governors say, okay, we're now loosening up these regulations. It's now permitted. Because people are afraid, and they're still afraid. And a lot of this really is not just what our leaders say or what state officials say. It's what people feel. And people feel, and I think rightly, they feel scared. There was a very interesting letter, and I think it's representative of a lot of people, and it was to Ask Amy. And she's one of those advice columnists replacing Dear Abby. And we will get to that in a moment, because I think it does reveal part of what's going on out there And part of what's going on out there is the division between liberals and conservatives. Dan Crenshaw is a decorated Navy SEAL who is now a Republican congressman from Texas. He's the author of a new book, Fortitude. He's written a terrific column about the differences between left and right in responding. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ach.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Michael Medved Show, Representative Dan Crenshaw is one of the brightest stars of the House of Representatives, Republican from Texas. He is a decorated Navy SEAL. He's also a best-selling author. We had him on before to talk about his wonderful book, Fortitude, American Resilience in the Era of Outrage. He wrote a terrific piece in the Wall Street Journal, which I think probes a question that we've talked about on this show a great deal. The headline for the piece is, "Why Does Reopening Polarize Us?" And congratulations on the piece and continuing your work in the House of Representatives, Congressman Crenshaw. Let me ask you a quick question.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's a great pleasure and an honor. Let me ask you a quick question about a point you make in the column. You make the point that I think many people recognize, that when it comes to taking risk with untried social schemes, you mentioned multiculturalism, things of that nature, that the left seems to be more enchanted with the idea of risk. Conservatives instinctively like to protect things that we have that actually work, that function well. So why is it, in the midst of this pandemic, that it seems like the left is more risk averse? They don't want to go back to work until you can be absolutely assured that the virus is conquered, right? How are the roles reversed here?
Yeah, it's interesting, and you know, if I had more than 700 words to really expand on that point, it's a really interesting point to expand upon, because there's this sort of long history in psychological research that surveys and tests liberals and conservatives and sort of sees how we think differently, sees what parts of the brain light up differently. And different parts of the brain do light up differently. When a conservative is confronting a risk game in a research setting, versus a liberal. And that's really interesting. So there's a lot of truth to that, and it demonstrates how our brains are actually wired differently. I just think that the conclusions of that research have long been wrong, and or at least inadequate, I think incomplete. And so and you can look at other articles written on this, it seems that the conclusion is always, well, fear drives conservatism. So a more fearful person, if you make people more scared, then they become conservative. If you tell them they're invincible, then they become more liberal. And I think to a lot of us conservatives, that just never really rang true. You know, it intuitively, it just doesn't make sense. And so, you know, you look into that research a little bit deeper, and you find that it's really based upon these games where it's basically a betting game. You know, you're basically seeing numbers, and there's a certain amount of risk with choosing the higher number, and there's more reward, of course, but there's more risk. And so conservatives tend to take a little less risk in that betting game than liberals do. And so they come up with this really broad conclusion about how we interpret fear and how we react to fear and risk. And, you know, and I think it's incomplete. Now, what seems pretty obviously true, and this is also from survey data, is, yeah, a liberal person will be more open to multicultural experiences, more open to change. And I think we intuitively know that is true because, you know, their governing strategy indicate that as well. There are differences on border issues and then basic national sovereignty, I think indicate that as well. So that seems true. But as far as confronting risk and fear, again, we intuitively think that's not true. And so we look at other data, especially with occupations. And what kind of occupations do conservatives take versus liberals? And there I think you find a more complete picture of like how we actually confront real risk. I mean real risk, like physical risk. And what you find is, and I know this from anecdotally, of course, being in the military, especially special operations where risk is a part of life, and you've got an overwhelmingly conservative bent to the population there. And the same seems to be true of law enforcement. The same is true of construction jobs, of lumber jobs, these more dangerous jobs, whereas liberals more likely to work in tech or be a lawyer or an academic or something along those lines. There's just less risk involved, and so
government
it's a more complete
employee,
picture.
Yeah, right. So, and by the way, you could also add to the people who are not afraid of risk, entrepreneurs. Anybody
right.
who's starting a restaurant knows very well that you're starting that restaurant, 3 out of 4 restaurants fail. They just don't work. And so you're okay with taking risk. Do you think that in this federalistic way that we're going with every state doing it differently, do you think, Congressman, that we are generally moving in the right direction now, or are we moving too slowly, or is this working out for the American public?
I think some states are clearly moving more slowly, and you know, and I wrote that about that in the op-ed. It's been pretty obvious to everybody that blue states were much slower to move towards reopening, still are, and red states were quicker. And it shows that we're more willing to confront reality holistically and confront risk holistically, I think. And there's other reasons for that too. So we seem to be better at overcoming risk and actually confronting it and being realistic about it. And what I also write about in the article is moral foundations. And again, from the research, what tends to be true is that liberals really overemphasize specific moral foundations, specifically compassion. And I think they outweigh, and that unfortunately is to the detriment of many other moral foundations, such as, you know, and the cost to our society. And as a result, you hear them say things like, well, hey, if it only saves one life, no matter what the cost, then it's worth it. Now, it's a lot of virtue signaling, and it's also inconsistent, because even liberals don't confront risk that way with everything. They don't talk about that way in terms of driving. They don't talk about swimming pools that way, even though kids drown in them. They don't talk about a lot of things that way because, I don't know, maybe we're more used to those risks, and so they're not as emotional and they're not as scary. But I think as America has started to understand coronavirus better, you're seeing people, you know, for lack of a better term, they're just over it. And they see that. I see that in Texas pretty clearly. I see people going out and, it's not like they're uneducated on the risks. They are, but they've gotten used to them and they're ready to get back to normal life and take precautions accordingly. And I think we've done it in exactly the right way. We've been watching the data in Texas and, we've been watching our hospitalization rates. We've been watching all the data, not just some of it. And I think a lot of liberal states have just looked at some data, the data that they want to look at to justify continued lockdowns. And I think that's very incomplete.
Okay, right now, yesterday, Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, testified before the Senate Banking Committee and clearly indicated that he thinks there needs to be more spending to help protect the economy. We have less than a minute left. Are you in favor of more spending or more the wait-and-see approach that Secretary Mnuchin advocates?
I want to target specific solutions for specific problems. You know, there's plenty to do as of now just to fix the current solutions that we have out there, like PPP, like the lending programs. Let's get those right before we start talking about just throwing out a bunch more money. What kind of spending is the question? And you know, what are you going to continue to do stimulus spending when people are still locked down in many states? Like, that doesn't really make sense. So we just have to be a little bit more thoughtful about it.
That's Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Republican of Texas. His new book, Fortitude, American Resilience in an Era of Outrage. It's a terrific read. It's posted on our website, michaelmedved.com. We'll be right back.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is demanding that Planned Parenthood return $80 million they took from the Paycheck Protection Program meant to help small businesses.
And we learned yesterday that the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood, abused this emergency process and grabbed tens of millions of dollars of taxpayer money for which they were completely completely ineligible.
The Paycheck Protection Program specifically prohibits large affiliated organizations with more than 500 employees. Planned Parenthood is said to have over 600 employees. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, food prices in the month of April rose the most percentage point since 1974. Consumers paid 2.6% more for groceries such as meat, poultry, fish, and eggs. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA? Or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
About efforts to stop the slaughter. That was the record of Woodrow Wilson during the Spanish flu outbreak that claimed at least 50 million lives around the world. The pandemic began in 1918. While Wilson was singularly focused on World War I, American soldiers sailing to European battlefields nonetheless helped spread the virus. President Wilson let mayors handle isolation and mitigation efforts in this country, and no federal strategy ever emerged. Whatever one thinks of President Trump's response in confronting coronavirus, he unequivocally affirms the need for an activist federal role. Compared to his predecessor's monumental failure 102 years ago, Trump deserves credit for his fierce focus on the challenge to health and prosperity. Michael Medved Show, everyone's listening right now has experience and opinions on the whole idea of the reopening of America. And I would guess that there are some people who share the feelings of apparently millions of Americans. I don't think it's a majority, but I think it's lots of people who aren't ready for a full return to normal. Aren't sure with this alarming reports that are so ubiquitous now. They're everywhere. Reports about a new blood disease that appears to be linked to coronavirus that resembles Kawasaki disease, which can be life-threatening and crippling for life and very painful. Lots and lots of press coverage of that. So is it really time to open up schools? If you have a sense of that or a story or an account, you can give us a call, 1-800-955-1776. I was mentioning before we spoke with Congressman Crenshaw about this Ask Amy column. And they now have Ask Amy, they have Dear Carolyn, they have a bunch of these columns that replaced the two twin sisters, Ann Landers and Dear Abby. Everybody knows that Ann Landers and Dear Abby were twin sisters, actually, in real life. But in any event, they used to dominate this advice column thing. Now there's a column that came in to Dear Amy, and it is from signed Sheltering in Wisconsin. And Sheltering in Wisconsin writes, "My fiancé has asthma. I have recurring bronchitis due to complications from emergency lung surgery. We're both in our late 20s. Because of those pre-existing conditions, we've been taking our state's stay-at-home order very seriously. We're not scared, just cautious. We wear masks whenever we go out. Otherwise, we're staying inside. We live in a duplex with a shared front yard. Our neighbors are not taking the stay-at-home seriously. They're in their early 20s. They're still going to friends' houses every weekend. And early on, they had co-workers over every night. Today, they threw a party on our front lawn, where people were standing shoulder to shoulder. I wanted to call the police to break it up, but my fiancé didn't want to snitch. Well, probably a good move on the fiancé's part. I have been trying to stay away from them, but we do share a few spaces. Remember, they share a duplex, including the front entrance and the basement laundry. The few times we talked early on, I talked about how the city we live in was spiking in coronavirus cases, and how the first case was only a few blocks from us, but it fell on deaf ears. At what point should I ask them to take this seriously for our health? And she responds saying basically it's too late. She should have talked to them earlier. And she adds, my understanding is that because stay-at-home orders are being handled differently in various cities and states, the police might not be interested or legally able to bust up a party on your front lawn. You should take rational and common sense precautions regarding these very close neighbors. Wipe shared door handles and any other common point of contact with disinfectant before you touch them. Wash your hands frequently. Communicate with your neighbors. Hey, we're your neighbors, and we have some serious health conditions that make us vulnerable to COVID-19. There's a great conversation starter. Could you do us a favor and please be more considerate? I'm sure this will go well. As you know, the state is discouraging large gatherings. Having people clustered together on the front lawn is too close for our comfort. My advice, of course, on something like this would be, look, just stress the fact that both the young woman who wrote this letter in her late 20s and her fiancé have underlying health conditions, and they have to be particularly careful. And it's the same kind of thing. I mean, basically talking about their vulnerability and not stressing some kind of attitude of disapproval. And look, people are facing all kinds of questions right now with Memorial Day coming up. Memorial Day, believe it or not, is less than a week away. And people like to get together on Memorial Day. So what do you do? And there are all kinds of special issues. We have, as I've mentioned on the show before, one of our daughters is pregnant and due in less than a month. And there are all kinds of special precautions that are recommended for newborns. I mean, really, really special precautions. And the idea that somehow, and I think a lot of people have this in mind, is that all we need is Governor Inslee here in Washington, or Governor Cuomo in New York, or Governor Pritzker in Illinois, wherever it happens to be, we need somebody to just basically flip a great big switch, and then the economy opens up and everything's back. It's not going to be that simple, especially with this breaking news. The World Health Organization today reported the highest single-day increase of coronavirus cases worldwide. Now, it's not true in the United States, but it's true worldwide. The WHO warned that the gradual end of lockdowns in wealthier countries may be obscuring an increasing crisis in the developing world. Over the last 24 hours, 106,000 new cases of the virus were recorded. Mike Ryan, who is head of the WHO's emergencies program, said the world will soon reach what he calls the tragic milestone of 5 million cases. Now, you could say, okay, but at least that means that there are 5 million people who will have the antibodies, who will be immune. And that, by the way, there's new research that says that's pretty much the case, that if you do have the virus but recover, you should be okay. And I do think that the whole country, and starting with the President of the United States, should give more serious consideration to the kind of idea that Dr. Epstein was talking about on this program yesterday, which is a national testing day, is allowing the people who want to get back to work to do so. And you can do that if you test everybody and make sure that nobody else at that workplace is going to be positive. Because it'll only be people open to people who have had a test and a negative result. And this is not, by the way, a situation where there's a magic bullet, and certainly not a magic bullet called hydroxychloroquine. Now, there's a terrific editorial today in National Review, and we'll be speaking a little bit later to Rich Lowry, the editor-in-chief of National Review. But the editorial describes the idiotic debate about hydroxychloroquine. Now, who's idiotic about hydroxychloroquine? Everybody. Nancy Pelosi is. The president is. The people who are saying, well, if the president's doing it, it must be good. I mean, the desire to jump on a recommendation of a specific drug that does have some real questions about it, it's not good for our national discourse. And then there is one business that is absolutely booming, even with the lockdown. And maybe that's not such good news. We will get to that and more coming up on The MedVet Show. 1-800-955-1776. This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesse. The Luminesse anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
Michael Medved Show, I mentioned the brief editorial from the editors of National Review, the headline, The Idiotic Fight Over Hydroxychloroquine. And they write that pandemics call for a willingness to break medicine out of the usual red tape mentality and accept some risks in combating a fast-moving deadly virus. In that spirit, there was nothing wrong, in theory, with President Trump's willingness to push the healthcare system to consider hydroxychloroquine, although at his briefings he often sounded like a salesman desperate to make his quarterly quota. The responsible thing to do with a clinically untested treatment is to go where the evidence follows. The president, however, has responded to the barrage of criticism with his trademark relish for a fight. He now has publicly declared that he's taking hydroxychloroquine himself as if his personal confidence in the drug is all that matters. This marks a new chapter in a stupid sideshow that no one needs. Amen. It will embroil the White House and the Republican Party in defending hydroxychloroquine for the same reason his critics loathe the drug they hadn't even heard of before a few months ago, simply because it's something Trump favors. And then they conclude saying, Donald Trump wasn't elected for his bedside manner, but this is unworthy of the seriousness of the moment and of his office. Beware the political side effects. Let us go to James in Tacoma, Washington. James, you're on the Medved Show.
Yeah, thanks, Michael, for taking my call. Oh. I appreciate it. Just wanted to run a few thoughts by you. You know, it seems like, obviously, we want to take the right approach with reopening and everything, and obviously think of everyone's health, but it seems like maybe that's something that a lot of people are scared to do, and, you know, obviously with fear, and maybe you as well, but, you know, hearing...
No, I'm not. I'm eager to get back to normal. I would like to be able to go to a restaurant, right? Go ahead.
Yeah, definitely. No, and I think, though, when you've seen, you know, numbers down in, you know, the states of Georgia, and I actually got some family in Florida, and, you know, it's almost like life is getting back to normal, and it's very encouraging. And I think that if other states could actually look at what they're doing and not be, you know, bashing them in the media and saying how dumb these people are, when you actually look at what they're doing, and Dr. Brooks has even, you know, praised what these states have done, I don't understand why there isn't more support when you're seeing progress.
Oh, I think there's a lot of support. And just before you got on the line here, James, I was talking with Dan Crenshaw about how things are going very well in Texas, where he ended the Texas Governor Greg Abbott ended the lockdown policy, the stay-at-home policy, at the end of April. He ended it earlier than most states, and they're doing fine. And what you're saying about Florida and about Georgia, I mentioned exactly the same things on the air, and I agree with that. I think the problem that I'm trying to get at is that in terms of the economy, and the whole purpose of opening up again is to put an end to and start turning around this terrible depression we're in right now with the horrible unemployment. There was a number today from the Bureau of Labor Statistics that for people earning less than $40,000 a year, do you know what the unemployment rate is right now for jobs below $40,000 a year? It's 39%. It's almost half. It's a terrible situation. And so, no, I agree with you completely. The point that I'm making is that for the economy, unless we combine the opening up with really, really ramped up testing, like Dr. Epstein is talking about, there are a bunch of people who won't open up their own lives because though you can kind of force people to stay at home, you can't really force people to come out if they're frightened of the situation. And I think a lot of Americans still are and still will be at the first stages of the opening. That, by the way, is, I think, the main reason that President Trump got so enthusiastic about hydrochloroquine is if it did work, and maybe it will, and maybe further testing will reveal it to be really a partial solution to this pandemic. If that happens, of course, that could soothe everybody's fear about this situation. And by the way, the fact that President Trump has sort of waded into this whole controversial area concerning this one drug, it doesn't really give a reason that people like, well, Joe Biden should take this up as a political issue. In yet another interview from his home, from his basement, Joe Biden, or man, I don't think this was his basement. I think he's up on the ground floor now. But Biden was very critical of President Trump for admitting that he personally takes hydroxychloroquine. Listen.
There's growing evidence linking hydroxychloroquine to dangerous side effects. And I'm curious how you feel about the President of the United States modeling what many doctors view as risky medical behavior in front of the American people.
It's like saying maybe if you injected Clorox into your blood, you know, it may cure you. Come on, man. What is he doing? What in God's name is he doing? And the things that presidents say, the words of a president matter. When the president says you heard the vice president today or yesterday saying, I'm not using it, the vice president of the United States. Look, this is absolutely irresponsible. There's no serious medical personnel out there saying to use that drug. It's counterproductive. It's not going to help. But the president, he decided that's an answer. So what do you think people are going to be doing? You think they're not going to use it? And look at the studies that have been done. It does much more harm than good. This is totally irresponsible. Totally irresponsible.
But it's irresponsible to make it a partisan issue. And when Joe Biden says there are no serious medical personnel who recommend it, the president is going on the willingness of his own physician to not only recommend it, but to prescribe it for the president of the United States. And there are some studies that have been positive. I understand. And by the way, President Trump never called for people to inject Clorox into their veins. He did say that should be investigated as a potential remedy. And Of course it was silly for the president to say that. But this kind of debate back and forth on something that does give people some hope. The right tone on this is just to say, leave it to the medical authorities. And the real question is, why do people get a pass? Well, for instance, Nancy Pelosi was talking about President Trump in this way. And when it comes down to this, it's really, it's not even like grade school. It's like kindergarten. This was, we'll do 01A, Jeremy, from Nancy Pelosi.
You're asking me about the appropriateness of the actions of this president of the United States? So completely inappropriate in so many ways that it's almost a given. It's like a child who comes in with mud on their pants or something. That's the way it is. They're outside playing. That's what it is. He comes in with doggy do on his shoes, and everybody who works with him has that on their shoes too for a very long time to come. So I don't know. I hear doctors talk to me about saying, what's the matter with him? The things he says are so inappropriate for a president of the United States. The comments he makes about women. So inappropriate. So, no, I don't think it's appropriate. But, again, there's a market for it, obviously, and that's what he plays to.
Okay, he's like a child who comes in with dog poop on his shoes.
Come on.
It would be, I don't know, maybe more constructive for the country if people could get together on an economic plan for reopening and restarting the economy. The economic numbers are serious, and they're worrisome. The Congressional Budget Office yesterday came out with all of this information. Gross domestic product will likely be 5.6% smaller in the fourth quarter of this year than a year ago. And that's even assuming that we have some kind of pickup in economic activity in that fourth quarter. We've got to get serious about it. We will be doing just that on the show with Rich Lowry of National Review and Alex Berenson coming up in This Greatest Nation on God's Green Earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on, so it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.